Welcome to When I Grow Up with Liv and Lex, a podcast dedicated to having sisterly conversation on life, love, and identity. We are your hosts, Liv and Lex, and the conversation starts now. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of When I Grow Up with Liv and Lex. How is everyone doing? We know it's the holiday season. Holiday season pretty much means it's cuffing season, but it wouldn't be an episode if I didn't give a quick shout out to all the Sagittariuses in the world. You know, us Capricorns, we have to split a little bit of December with the Sagges. So I'm a little salty about it, but I'm going to let y'all live out this moment. A quick 1-2. Shout out to Nicki Minaj, to all the Barbs out there, all the amazing Sagittariuses. We love you. It's a little bittersweet around here, the earth versus fire signs, but we give props where it's due, you know?
Hey, I feel like this is literally the nicest things you've ever said about Sagges. You're always like, let's get through Sag season so we can get where it's really happening, which is caps. So I give you props for all the positivity. Yes, Sag season. I feel lots of ways. I'm not a big fan. I know I'm an Aquarius and I'm supposed to do well with fire signs, which a Gemini is a fire sign, right?
Oh, it's an air sign. Haven't I taught you anything?
Okay. I'll go back and study my notes. I thought I had this. I had it all thought out in my head. Anyway, yeah, you know who you are. I don't really mess with y'all like that. You got that big energy, but I respect it. It's your season. I ain't gonna try and take that away from you. So cheers to y'all. But I think we can always have a hot take debate about whether November Sag or December Sagges are better, which I think December. For sure.
Let's really quickly rank our favorite fire signs. So we got Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Which ones? Who's at the top? Who's at the bottom? This is about to get real controversial.
Leo's, because my mom's a Leo, number one. Aries, because my favorite person in the whole entire world is an Aries. And then Sagittarius, because every Sag I've ever been with has been the most messed up human being I've ever known. So mine is polarizing, but that's just on that.
I feel like, honestly, I might just put Sagittariuses at the top. I know. Just
because— Are you kidding me? Let me guess. You put Leo's last. You hate Leo's.
I don't hate Leo's. I'm just kidding. No, I don't hate any of the zodiac signs, okay? Because, you know, we really got to look at the birth chart to see what's really popping. But my preference is Sagittarius is just because they're actually hilarious. They always want to go out and they have a cool fiery energy about them that can work in my favor and also not work in my favor when I'm trying to just chill, you know? But then we got Aries just because they're super chill. And I've never been around to see an Aries like actually blow up. So I'm gonna just leave it at that. And then Leos, I just feel like sometimes when you meet a Leo and they're the type that wants all the attention on them, it can be a little suffocating. But I've also met Leos that are really chill. So I don't know. Hey.
The way you feel about Leos, I feel about Sagges. I'm like, I've never met a chill one. I like, they have to be the loudest in the room. And I don't know about this funny business. Maybe y'all just have similar senses of humor that are just sick.
You know what? Look, if there are any fire signs out there that want to change our minds, please reach out. We'd love to have a conversation with y'all about your fire sign tendencies. But enough astrology for today. Let's get into this pulse check. Lexi, what's been going on in your life?
Honestly, I'm big chilling like always. I literally was listening back to a clip and I'm like, I think I say that every time because that's just a vibe, except for like a couple times I'm sure I'm like, yeah, not living my best life. But no, things are good. Back in good old Texas, enjoying the holidays, did the turkey thing. been working. I think just like everybody else, I saw something on Instagram that was like, who's placing bets that the next December is going to feel like 300 days or 6 hours. I'm like, big mood. Like, I have no idea what's in hold, in what's for in store for December, but I'm chilling.
Right. And that's always such a good place to be in, unbothered, in your own lane, minding my own business, no complaints whatsoever. That's what's up. I feel like in my life, I've just been kind of, in a way, getting all of my marbles together before my 22nd birthday, which is super exciting.
Mimi here.
I know. Thank you. If anyone knows me, y'all know that I love the number sequence 222, and I just so happen to be born on 12/22. So with this being my 22nd birthday, I just feel like there's so many blessings to come in. So I've just been trying to figure out how to appropriately cleanse my body and prepare my mind, body, and soul for this new chapter of life. I'm just super excited. And, you know, with that new chapter is definitely coming a lot of adulting. So we're gonna definitely get these pockets straight, if you know what I mean, and kind of buckle up to enter that adult world. It's kind of scary, but it's kind of cool at the same time. You know, we're just inching towards the finish line. So yeah,
I can feel the good vibes. I also feel like, let's not even like front, you got great things coming up in December. Your brand is relaunching. That's huge. 22. Oh my goodness. Like, you got big things, and it's Christmas. Cause like, who doesn't love it? You know, 'tis the season. Am I right? So you got big things coming up. So nice try. You can't chill. You can't double chill my chill when we know who's the chillest between us.
I know. That's super exciting. That's another reason why I kind of, You love to hate fire signs, but I feel like I always feel the most inspired during fire sign times. So I appreciate the energy, and I'm super excited to relaunch my brand, Pretty Vibes Movement. If y'all all don't know, that's a cute little plug. We love a cute little plug, don't we? Selfless.
That's what we're here for. But I feel like this just really shows why we do our pulse check. Like, if you've been with us since day one, or if you're just starting to tune in with us, like, pulse check is at the core of why, like, things that you can expect in a Live and Lex episode. And that's really because we think it's so important before you dive into any conversation to just like check in with each other. Cause like, you miss out on these hype moments where I get to be like, girl, no, you got big things coming. Or you get to check me being like, Lexi, you're chilling, but like, what something's going on in your head? Like, we need to know. And so it definitely sets such a great foundation to like jump off of, you know, into the conversation. And I just think that I want people to know that it's super important that we have this segment. And I hope that they're taking a pulse too. Like, I hope they hear us talking about how we're doing in their day. But hopefully when you're tuning in, it's a chance for you to check in with yourself too and see how your week's going and what's going on and what's been your big wins or maybe some crunchy moments, or like, are you just chilling, you know?
We love a good check-in. And on that note, you know, with these check-ins sometimes comes a great level of vulnerability. And I think that that leads us perfectly into our topic for today, which is intimacy.
Oh, well, intimacy.
Late drum roll, but you know, intimacy is so important in our everyday lives, and it truly helps us grow within our relationships and just as humans, loving each other. So Lexi, why don't you tell us, what is intimacy?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, when they hear it off the cuff, they think like physical intimacy. So basically just like having sex with somebody. But when you're talking about, it's really just kind of like the raw, uncut form of it, which, you know, just like this season's about to be, you know, raw, uncut, imperfect. It's really just creating a sense of closeness and like a warmth, as a lot of people have described it. So you can have that in a lot of different ways. And so when some people are talking about it and kind of how we've been conditioned to think about it, it's been this very like physical form of it. But in reality, there's like a bunch of different types of it. And so you can have like emotional, intellectual, spiritual, physical, and experiential intimacy. So that's just the facets of what they look like in your life. So you could be cultivating it with friends, with significant others, with your family. And it's about the environment. Cause like sometimes you go to a restaurant and you're like, ooh, it's such like an intimate environment. But then also you can have experiences that's like, dang, like, only me and them know what's up. Like that was intimate. Like we're tied to each other. And so it's really important to know which one you're talking about, and two, to like not just accept what we've been socialized or like what media has taught us what it is, to accept that as like the only form. Because if we don't really know how robust it is, you know, it can be damaging when we have these misconceptions, because I think a lot of people think that it just happens in romantic relationships, but cultivating intimacy can be really important in friendships and just really wanting to like live a whole life. And I think there's factors that help you make intimacy in your life and cultivate it, like trust, acceptance, honesty, safety, compassion, affection, and communication. And we got all this from like a really dope article. We'll have to share it with everybody. But just thinking about like the facets of what creates it, but I want people to get like why you want to cultivate intimacy, like why it's important to do that in your life. So like, Liv, what have you seen as the benefit for yourself?
Right. So, you know, a cool way that I look at intimacy is literally breaking down the word as in to me, see, like the more you're able to kind of pinpoint in which ways you want your cup to be filled and share that with other people, the more that they're able to show up for you in the ways that you really need it. And you guys are able to be intentional about, you know, diving deeper and tearing back the different layers to who you are as a person. For me, when I'm able to create a safe space within a friendship relationship, you know, familial relationship, I'm now able to share deeper things about my personality that they may not know. And with them having that knowledge of how I interact and why I do the things that I do, they're now able to protect me in situations. They're now able to show up for me in different ways, you know, ways that maybe I haven't even been taught to show up for other people. Like it's just essentially, it's essentially all about expanding your knowledge. And a great book that I feel like me and Lexi swear by is Bell Hooks, All About Love. And you know, within the first chapter, she's talking about how when we're young, this is the first time that we're exposed to intimacy. This is the first time that we're exposed to love. A lot of us, you know, based off of our childhood, we may not have even experienced the appropriate type of intimacy or love. This all affects the way that we form relationships in the future. You know how sometimes people joke about having mommy issues or daddy issues? Like, this is based off of how much love or how much lack of love that we received as children, and intimacy all plays into this. So
you're saying like all my favorite things, like I'm bursting on the inside. Yeah. Because like also love this analogy, like into me, see, like you should be able to see the way that you're into me and I should be able to see you. And that like, that's really encompassing like the love, like that really kind of blew my mind. And then second, I'm getting some introspection vibes going, you know, where we learned behaviors, what we want to unlearn, what we can definitely unpack a little bit more. And so, yes, you know, I swear by Bell Hooks, and All About Love literally changed the game. And so I agree. Like, I think if people are trying to level up in their life and not just kind of maintain the status quo, then you really have to leave no stone left unturned. Like, you really have to break it down, which I think we can start to get into some examples of how we've seen intimacy show up in spaces for us, and like exactly like where we've seen it modeled, what we've learned, like lessons learned. Because I think, you know, we often talk a lot about things and it might seem like we know what's up and we've read cool books about it, but it doesn't make it any easier or that we're perfect. Like, the factors that impact it, like trust, acceptance, honesty, safety, compassion, affection, communication, like, dang, like, that is like major. And so if you're not able to give that to yourself sometimes, or maybe there's different seasons in your life that you're able to give that better, it's definitely not a perfect game. But I think for me, it's been really interesting to unpack intimacy and friendships, especially being a young professional and like outside of the college realm. I think a lot of people think like, oh, the friends that I grow deeper with are the ones that I just hang out with. But like, there's a level of intentionality that goes into cultivating like a really deep and intimate friendship. But I really saw this in Insecure with Issa and Molly.
Unpack it.
Yeah, it's like the perfect example of a friendship that has a really intimate bond, but then when they lose kind of that like trust and communication and compassion for each other, like how it just crumbled. And so I don't know if y'all are with the Insecure game, but y'all know in the last season things got rocky, and I felt like that was the first time I really saw especially Black friendship like really unpacked to like the nitty gritty. And so I just think that's super cool, especially trying to think about how I want to cultivate it in my life, especially now, not just always being with people. Like, you have to be intentional to ask questions, grow deeper, be in different settings. So that was dope for me.
Right. And even evaluating Issa and Molly's relationship, to me, it just kind of seems like there was a lot of miscommunication. But since they didn't have a pattern, or they lost the pattern or safe space of coming together and unpacking, you know, girl, why are you acting like this? You know, why haven't you shown up for me in these ways? You know, all of these different things, it just kind of got blown out of proportion. And I think a lot of people, even myself, really resonated with this last season, just because it's so real. Like, oftentimes in a lot of relationships, it's all about miscommunication. And when you don't have the space to really like sit down and just put all the BS to the side, it can get real sticky, don't it?
No, for sure. But I feel like that's not the only place that you can see it or like impacts your life. There's definitely, you know, the one that I think is the most challenging is your relationships with your family, which you already said can like definitely impact how you show up in relationships with friends and with romantic partners. But I think the biggest difference is the sense of obligation. So like, I could drop, you know, little bitty bop if she done pissed me off a little bit. But when you're talking about your family members and you feel like you have an obligation because of your relation, like your literal family relationship to them, it can definitely be more challenging to cultivate that intimacy. And like, let's not even get started with unpacking like Black family dynamics or people of color dynamics, and like how some cultures, there's not a natural inclination to cultivate vulnerability because it's associated, there's a stigma that it's like a sign of weakness. So even though you're like obligated to be in relationship with that person, sometimes they're not ready to be like intimate and create that like warmth and family vibe. Or maybe you had trauma in your family and it's not the safe place, or maybe it's not the place where you feel most trusting and accepted. But I do think that even in that, you'll learn the most about yourself if you go and try and heal in those spaces, because it's like inviting, and not everybody's always ready, but I think being able to like begin those conversations and saying like, I want really dope, full, expansive, authentic relationships, even with my family, I want to learn you in a new level. I want to learn you in a new way. That can be like some of the most difficult, but I feel like you learn the most. And I definitely know I've learned the most from that space too.
Right. Even something as what we could call small of, you know, my mom never telling me that she loves me or that she's proud of me, like, or not getting a hug from family members, not receiving physical affection, it all affects us all later down the line, especially in our romantic relationships, which as again, like, is one of the biggest moments within our lives where we're intimate. And I tell you guys, I literally swear by the five love languages test, because you're able to kind of see not only what your love language is, but usually when I meet someone or even just have friends, I try to get them to take the test too. If you haven't heard of the five love languages, it's a test that essentially ranks, you know, how you receive love the best. And they split it up into five different categories. Categories being quality time, acts of service, receiving gifts, words of affirmation, and physical touch. For me personally, my love language is acts of service. I love it when people are able to show up for me and they're able to take, you know, maybe a little task off of my back. It's like, wow, it shows that you are spending quality time with me, but you also like are going the extra mile to help me out. Like, it's just the ultimate task. And I think that I really try to show up for my friends in that way and relationships in that way. But I'm currently with a partner where his love language is quality time. And so, you know, I may not be the person that is always like showing up for him in an acts of service way. I think a small thing that I can do is simply just like putting my phone down when we're together and being present. Like, that's all that he's asking for. And so through that, we're able to build more intimacy because I know how he wants me to show up for him and he knows how I want. And it's just like, I don't know, a brain bomb to me that people kind of like really consider this, because you can spend your entire life like doing things for someone else that they may not truly appreciate. And I'm sure that there are more categories, you know, besides five love languages, but it's such a good tool to use when you're trying to figure out how can I establish a more intimate and safe, trusting relationship with my partner.
And I feel like that really gets at to the reward and benefit of going through the process, especially with your significant other. And I think the interesting part about romantic partnerships is that we often, because our first knowledge of intimacy is physical, we think that like, oh, if I'm physical with somebody, therefore I'll have intimacy in my relationship. But it's more than that. Like, when you can connect with your partner emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, and physically, like, that's going to compound the sense of security and safety. And it's going to really like jump the type of experiences that you have. It's going to make everything better because both parties are going to feel so seen. And who, like, literally, I think the core of everybody is like to be loved, heard, and seen. So why would you not try and do like the triple whammy? But if you got all this other baggage that you're bringing into it, or you feel like, well, I did that one thing, I don't want to do the other things, and like sips tea, hot take, like that can be really tough, especially when you're in a relationship with a man of color and toxic masculinity is running rampant as a byproduct of the patriarchy in our society. And they're literally not incentivized to be emotionally vulnerable or intimate with you. So it's like, even when you're trying to cultivate that, like, this isn't easy because you got to get both parties to buy in, just like you explained, intimacy. Like, the other person also needs to be wanting to be seen like that. And they're not always on that level. And that can be really challenging and frustrating, but it's like, trying to get them to understand that, like, better together, like, if we cultivate this, if we move through this, and like, everything's going to be just better. And I don't know why you wouldn't opt for that. But we gonna have to get some Black men in here, some men of color in here to talk about that, because some ain't clicking. And that's why even Olivia and I have talked about, like, we feel like we cultivate the emotional intimacy with our friendships, and then like, don't really feel like we need that so much in our relationships, just as trying to like balance all of the vibes.
Right. And it's so interesting that you bring up the toxic masculinity piece, because, you know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and, you know, we were talking about how he personally doesn't feel the need to branch out of his circle of friends or, you know, familial circle to learn more about other people, because he feels like in his heart, people are designed to use you. You know, people are designed to take advantage of you and to do whatever is in their best interest. And he didn't want any parts of it. So it's like he has this, you know, small community of friends. And he has his family, and those are the people that he leans on. But, you know, when you really break down that statement, it's a broad statement for one, but it's like, you would really need to unpack that trauma that you have, or, you know, the misconceptions, whatever's going on in your head, to figure out, why do I view other people that I have no idea, you know, what they're about? Why do I view them as people who will naturally take advantage of me? You know, it's a coping mechanism. And when we talk about vulnerability with men of color, it's just such a hard topic because, you know, a lot weren't raised that. And with toxic masculinity in the mix due to patriarchy, it's just like a whole different beast. So, you know, I just even look at me versus, you know, my brother's relationships and how my friends show up for me versus how his friends show up for him. And I think sometimes a lot of Black men don't even know how to tell their friends how to show up for them, which is something, you know, on a completely different topic, but it's all interconnected.
Yeah.
People, I'm trying to tell you, it's all interconnected.
And I feel like that's really, again, we'll have to come back to this conversation, because I think that's why men really value just like loyalty. Like, you just got to be loyal to me. And they just want, like, I wouldn't be surprised if guys are just, a lot of them, their love language is quality time, because they're like, I don't need anything else, like, as long as you're loyal and you're here for me. But it's, they, I feel like they're not, they don't get what they're missing out on, you know? So, but you're right, it's all interconnected, it's all better because of it. But like we said, like, also, who hurt you? Because, like, we always need to be asking that question when someone's coming up showing all that hurt, like your friend being like, who hurt you? What the heck is going on? But like we said, we're not perfect in this at all. So, like, with all this information, as you were learning it, Liv, what were revelations you had about yourself in the process, and in terms of your proximity to intimacy in your life, or lessons learned, or like things that you're working on, or you like changed your perspective?
Right. It's just so interesting because, like you were saying, like in my friendships, I've done a great job of building emotional, intellectual, sometimes even spiritual intimacy. And, you know, my core group of friends, that's kind of where I go to fill up those cups, as well as my relationship. But one thing that I feel like I've been really struggling with is building physical intimacy within my relationship now. Like, I, over the course of the past few months, I've been on this journey of learning more about my body and figuring out what makes me feel good, what doesn't make me feel good. And I think my lack of knowledge on how to, you know, build a safe and intimate physical relationship with someone is partially due to the lack of knowledge of, you know, figuring my way around the female body in general, you know, in school, in relationships. I feel like for a lot of women, it's really all about trial and error. Like, you figure out what you like and what you don't like through having partnerships, or maybe, you know, you had an older sister or a best friend that was kind of able to tell you their experiences and you learn from it. But for me personally, I've just been on this journey of being more vulnerable and trying to figure out what makes me feel sexy, you know, how can I build a stronger and intimate physical relationship with my partner? And it's definitely been a journey, especially for me, who, you know, I'm someone that doesn't have the most experience in the world, and I'm with someone that's a little bit more experienced, and patience is awesome, but, you know, we're coming at it from two different lenses. So it's been a struggle. It hasn't been easy, but when you're able to be with someone that is patient and willing to kind of help you figure it all out, then that's how you're able to create a safe and honest, trustworthy place full of acceptance. And so, you know, I'll keep y'all updated on my sexcapades, but
you're just dropping so many fire gems. Like, everything you're talking about is what we said at the beginning, like we're coming full circle of, you got to be able to give it to yourself first before you ask for it from somebody else. So being in creating safety for yourself and trusting your own body before you ask your partner. And I'm sure we've talked about this like a long time ago. One time you said compassionate problem solving is like how you navigate this landscape with people, because it's not perfect. But if you have another person that you're like, I'm willing to do this and I know it's going to be rocky, but we're going to be compassionate to one another, to ourselves. Ooh, I'm just going to pause for that one. We're going to be compassionate to ourselves and then just be follow through with like really great communication. So I'm just loving all that. And I think Liv, more people are in the same boat as that. I know I was like a couple years back in the same place. So I feel like there's a lot of other people in that same boat. For me, this has been really interesting. Like I said, I've been super fascinated with friendships and how to cultivate intimacy within those ones. But I have to be like real with myself. I ain't even gonna front everybody, even our listeners from day one know I am not one to offer up vulnerability. And often like I'm told by my friends that that's a barrier because they want me to offer up more about my life. And so that can definitely hinder. And I have to be real that I'm not perfect in that. And so Liv is a great example of, because she's so compassionate with me and I trust her, sometimes like she now is in a position where she can call me out on it and be like, hey, yo, you're being like mad vague, or like, are you trying to not tell me something? Like, what's that about? Do you want to talk about it? And then I can be like, oh, no, I'm just playing. And it's probably something I should unpack a lot more, because I feel like I kind of make people stick around to see who's real for what, like what's up before I give a little bit. But again, that's part of my journey. And if I want this in my life, then I got to work towards it. And luckily I have really dope, good people who hold me accountable and literally let me do my dance. And then they're like, Lexi, you'll get around to it. But I know that if that's how I feel, then the opposite is someone who overshares and really wants this in their relationships, but isn't necessarily doing it or like being vulnerable to the right people who can honor that what they're sharing with dignity. Cause like, I feel like a lot of people are the opposite of me and they're overshares. And then they're like, somebody took what I did and like, or said to them and they ran with it and they told blah, blah, blah. And like, that's not cultivating intimacy, because they're not trusting what you said, or they're not accepting you for who you are, or being like cultivating an environment for safety for you. So it can go both ways. And that's why you got to figure out where you're at. But I definitely, I'm gonna be better.
Right. And I feel like it's all about just trying to figure out who is worth it, I guess, in that sense. We all have our own separate traumatic experiences and, you know, problems throughout childhood or no matter what point in our lives that we kind of bring to the table in any kind of relationship or friendship that we have. But, you know, I'm really interested to kind of talk about what happens when you feel like your intimacy or vulnerability has been betrayed in a sense, because I really want to emphasize, you can be like the best, the perfect picker of friends or relationships, but like, you know, not everyone is going to treat you the way that you need to be treated, nor are they going to fill up these different cups. And so, you know, it's hard. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not easy trying to figure out how to be intimate with someone, especially when you've been betrayed in the past and you've had, you know, family members not even teach you basic ways of loving each other. But Lexi, do you have anything to say when it comes to that? What happens when your intimacy or vulnerability,
it's broken? You know, that's the tough part. Like, it's always twofold and there's another side of the pancake. I want to be optimistic and say like, you can always overcome it, but I'm not going to be real. I've lost friends because I haven't honored that. And people know by now, and if you're tuning in, like, I'm a ride or die for my Black women. Like, I pride myself on the friendships that I've cultivated with Black women, but there's ones that I've lost because we weren't honoring each other. And I know I committed harm. You know, Liv, you and I talk a lot openly about when we had a little bit of a falling out, and that was definitely betrayal, miscommunication, all those things. We were able to move through it, and we've been better because we've both been way more intentional. So I think that's my thing to share, is this takes mad levels of intentionality in your life. And I think the way that you just start to even evaluate, however you're joining this conversation, wherever you are in evaluating your relationships, like, break it down to all these different types, like, set goals for what you want in your life. Ask yourself how you've shown up for yourself in this way, because you can't expect anybody to give you something that you haven't given yourself first. Cause then that's when you start getting some like mad toxic traits, right? Of codependency and people pleasing. And that is not cute in the slightest. So I think my advice would really just be evaluating how much intentionality you want to put in this, and always starting with yourself. Cause I say this over and over, like, don't ask somebody to do something for you that you wouldn't do first. Cause that's just jinx. So that's kind of my tidbit.
Right. And for me personally, I feel like when it comes to talking about physical intimacy with my partner, you know, I've had to be super straight up of being like, all right, dude, we have completely different sex drives, right? Like, we can spend all of our time creating a great, you know, an honest physical intimate space, but like, we're really going to have to compassionately problem solve and figure out, like, is this something that we really want to explore? Like, we're both in our early 20s, you know, like, this should be really fun, open, cool, but you really have to figure out who are the people that are going to kind of stick with you throughout this journey. Or, you know, you got to love yourself enough to be like, all right, dude, like, maybe we're not on the same page. I love how intimate we've been, but like, this isn't working for me, and being okay with walking away, which all has to deal with loving yourself and knowing that there's someone, you know, else out there that can kind of fill up those cups. But, you know, we're all learning, we're all growing, we're all making mistakes. And it's all about being self-aware about, you know, where you're at and being able to properly communicate with that with someone.
That part, vulnerability is the name of the game. And I'm just excited to hear from our listeners where they're at in the journey and what they want to cultivate in their life, and maybe lessons learned that they've had from experiences or things that surprised them from this episode. So definitely head over to our social media, Instagram accounts, where you'll see us most active, and hit us up in those comments, slide into our DMs, let us know what you're thinking, thinking about, reflecting on, journaling about. Because this is a raw, uncut conversation with all of us. Like, we all benefit from this. So I'm super pumped to hear where other people are at in this conversation. Because like we said, we don't have all the answers, but this is the raw, uncut version that we promised y'all. So show up, okay?
Exactly. And the more that we can all kind of combine our experiences, the more we're all able to grow and expand our perspectives. And one could argue, that's pretty much what life was about. So we really appreciate y'all. Maybe even email us, liveandluxpodcast@gmail.com. Yes, I'm bringing that back in season two. But thank y'all so much for joining this episode. You know, we love peeling back the layers and talking about some really tough topics. And we're so excited, you know, that you guys are joining us for another amazing season of Live and Lux.
Share this with some people in your life. If you want to start those conversations, come hang out with us in Instagram. And until next time, we'll see y'all later. But like always, we're going to send you out with some peace, some love, and some blessings.
As always.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.